This conference is being recorded.
Did we want to talk about abortion before taking another pass and looking at novel language, or did we want to defer abortion again?
Let's table abortion.
Table.
I agree.
Sounds good to me. Okay, then let's start in with the baseline section 2.4, money and markets, and whether it should say what it should say, if anything, about insider trading. So the language that's in question here is, I guess it says we call for the abolition of all regulation of financial and capital markets. What should be punished is the theft of information or breach of contract to hold information in confidence, not trading on the basis of valuable knowledge.
Yes, that's what's in question.
So I'm not a big fan either way of keeping that in, you know, in or out of the baseline. I think that we can write much better language for our final proposal. But Henry proposed putting it back into the baseline, and I don't really have a strong objection.
I think that sentence makes no sense. I mean, the first part does. The second part just, I don't comprehend what they were intending to say with that second part.
The not trading part?
Yeah.
I guess they're trying to say that just because you know something, using that knowledge isn't in itself fraud. It's the fraud, if there is any, would be in how you got that knowledge or whether you promised not to use it, I guess.
Yeah. In terms of insider trading, the fraud is that the rest of the stockholders are working on the assumption that all the stockholders get the same information and can act on the same information at the same time.
Yeah, that's a pretty absurd assumption, though, because everybody has information that they get from various sources, and to think that everybody has the same information is pretty ridiculous, which
No, the assumption is that material news is available to everyone at the same time.
They may not know it, but it's available if they wish to know it.
Right. So that's why companies don't allow people who are in the insiders, like I was, to trade before earnings or like a week after earnings to make sure that you know, a guy's example of the treasurer who, you know, right before the earnings release, trades. That would be, if that were the case, then markets, people would not invest because, you know, that would be such, you know, it opens up so much, such a large can of worms for manipulation that's why the laws were tightened up as they were.
I'm not so sure that people would not invest. I think they would probably still invest despite that flaw, and they would therefore get basically money stolen from them by bad practices that are not written down as law.
Yeah, that's fair. I take back that no one would invest. People would be far more risk. They would be much more. If there were no insider trading laws, people would be more hesitant to invest. The capital markets wouldn't flow as well as they do now.
Except that there would be mechanisms created within the markets themselves to deal with that issue, such as contracts that people would sign to pledge that they're not trading on insider information. I'm sure there would be alternatives other than government regulation that would deal very adequately with the problem.
I'm not so sanguine.
So how do we feel about the two-pronged test for the baseline of A, does this sentence embarrass the party and its candidates, and B, does this sentence make this baseline more likely to pass a two-thirds vote in Denver?
Well, I don't find it especially embarrassing, and I think if it weren't in, I don't think it adds too much. I don't think there's like a lot of like libertarians chomping at the bit on the insider trading issue. So I think it's probably a very minor positive for passage.
What if somebody had suggested, I think it was in one of the emails, another sentence that if we replace the last two sentences with this other one, it might cover it. If we replace, we call for the abolition of all regulation, that sentence, and the last one with the one that said regulation of, I'm paraphrasing, regulation of the market should be limited to prohibiting force and fraud, and would the fraud there cover insider trading?
I looked up the word definition. Let's play the dictionary game for a moment, and let me just read to you what the dictionary says on the word fraud. If you'll bear with me a second, I'm turning. F-R-A-U-D. And I talked to this in an email. Y'all may be able to pull it up if you're near a computer. A deception deliberately practiced in order to secure unfair or unlawful gain. And where I think the word fraud may sort of break down is in the words deliberately practiced, because in light of Robert's point about there not being any written contract, I don't think that you could actually make a charge of fraud legally stick, because they'll be able to basically say they were not deliberately practicing. And if you take the laws away, it may be unfair, but it's no longer unlawful.
Well, you're assuming, though, that no conditions wouldn't change if the law were repealed, and I think that's a faulty assumption. I think most corporations would require written contracts that for their executives that they if they did trade on the insider knowledge, they would therefore be in breach of that contract and thus subject to fraud.
Well, I don't believe that was the case before mid-80s. There were no contracts, I don't believe, at that point.
Before when?
Before the Boesky, pre-Boesky.
Well, I'm under the impression insider trading law has been on the books for longer than that.
Exchanges themselves have any prohibitions against it? NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange, the exchange is prohibited, or is it purely law that...
I used to work for NASDAQ. That was back in the 80s. I don't think NASDAQ got involved in that. They ran the market and made sure the companies had the financials to meet their listing requirements.
Yeah.
But in terms, and the NASD regulates broker dealers. They typically the exchanges, unless something has changed dramatically, and I don't think it has, don't, because the government is already serving that function. It could be, and certainly in an ideal world, the exchanges would say, okay, if you want to allow your stock to be traded on this exchange, you're going to have to make sure that all of your insiders don't trade. And that would be an ideal situation, but that's speculative. That's not would require the reader to make several assumptions, which I think is grandiose.
So my take on these two sentences is that my involvement, I didn't sign up for Platcom to the things that I signed up for Platcom to try and get out of the platform this doesn't quite meet that list. This is the not close to the top of the things that I'm worrying about. I think I think we can clean this up in the, you know, in sort of the final draft where we get to write our own language. But in terms of hurting our candidates and hurting our party's image, this language was in there. I'm not sure exactly when it got in, but I could live with at least this being a baseline. So, Guy, do I understand you're saying that not only do you not like this language in the baseline, but you want to say something even stronger in our final version so that we don't just talk about fraud?
Well, I don't think fraud necessarily covers that treasurer example that I provided. I mean, in this, I can't say my emotions are extremely high on this, but I just believe it's a bug, I think, that's in there. Talking to something else, I'm not sure who mentioned it, but you know, whether a corporation is going to start writing, you know, such things as insider trading constraints in their contract, I question. It's like, for instance, like the government officials, they're very rarely going to write rules that will actually allow anybody to convict themselves. So I can't imagine, you know, the corporation's board of directors being extremely eager to, you know, basically weave their own noose that somebody else is going to use to hang them with. I think that there's a certain amount of self-preservation in the corporate culture. I work at a large corporation, a refinery, and I just can't imagine them just sort of tripping over themselves to write rules that, you know, somebody can use to prosecute them with. So I'm not sure that type of contract is going to actually develop. I don't know one way or the other, but that's my sense.
Well, the reason it would develop is because they want their stock price to go up, and if it's public knowledge that they don't have such contracts, you know, shareholders are going to abandon the stock. The stock price goes down, and all their options expire worthless. So they'll have a great incentive to demonstrate to the world that, you know, this is a company that's above board, and we don't trade unethically. And you know, I think it's very likely that they'd want to.
As a person who represented public companies, I can tell you that corporate governance issues almost never come up with investors. They're interested in the numbers. They would certainly like to have some transparency, but to expect a corporation to, as Guy said, to put a noose around their necks is just not, it's way down the list of investor concerns in my experience, way down.
Well, but again, it's because the laws are on the books, and they trust the government to enforce them. If the laws weren't on the books, I think that would change.
You're speculating.
Yeah, I'm speculating, but it's the same as most other consumer protection issues.
So, we don't want to spend the whole session on this question, or even on the baseline version of it. Should we just take a vote on keeping these two sentences and then deal with it in the remix discussion?
That'd be fine. I mean, if we could just have an up or down vote, do we keep those two sentences? Then even if we decide to keep it, then at least we can say that, hey, we thought it was enough of a bug to consider deleting it. And, you know, that'll give me some talking points at least.
Right. I mean, for example, you know, in terms of what the platform is silent on, just, you know, I would much – insider trading, I think, is close enough to fraud that if we say we're against fraud, I feel much better about that coverage than, for example, the fact that we're completely silent on copyright and patents. I can consider those to be too much bigger bugs that would be – I would worry about addressing those before I – you know, went all out on trying to deal with the insider trading issue.
Well, it seems like there's three choices here. There's include these sentences in the baseline and have it voted on and change it in the remix. There's don't include it in the baseline, but include it in the remix. And there's don't include it in either.
Right. And
we break that down as two separate questions. I mean, if we have the up or down vote on the greatest hits, we know that we'll have a vote in a minute to include it in the remix. So that's sort of broken down into two questions.
Yeah. So unless someone would say that they're that how they would vote on the second question would be conditional on the first one, I would think we could just do a vote right now on this first one on the baseline.
Actually, I know I don't want to belabor this, but I'm on the fence actually on whether it should be in the baseline. So I guess I would, since Henry was the one who wanted to include these sentences, I'd like to know what his take is on the first test of embarrassment, the second test of likelihood of passage.
Well, I don't find it embarrassing in the least. I don't have a good sense of on the second question in terms of likelihood of passage one way or another. I have a hard time believing it would make a whole lot of difference one way or another, but I'm not, that's just a guess.
Yeah, also, I think what Henry suggested was the second one. I think I had already put the first sentence in there. Again, it's not how I would write it, but the thing is, if we didn't have those two sentences, then the baseline would be all about money, and there wouldn't be anything about market regulation or deregulation, and I think I'd be more embarrassed by a plank that was just all about, you know, gold buggery or whatever, and not about markets at all, than one that took a stand against regulation of markets.
But the inclusion of the phrase abolition of all regulations of financial and capital markets, the people that are concerned about insider trading are going to object to that because, you know, the basis of that is, you know, the government can outlaw it if the markets don't. So.
Well, a point on that, I mean, if we just left the sentence, we call for the abolition of all regulation of financial and capital markets, that does not necessarily preclude prosecution of fraud and then subsequent defining of insider trading as fraud, you know, which would, it's like, I'm not sure that laws to outlaw my treasurer example would necessarily, I mean, it's, what's the word, mutually exclusive or something? You might be able to have that sentence, we call for the abolition, that sentence, and leave it, and you still have an ability to pass like criminal laws against fraud and also insider trading. I don't know that a law against insider trading would actually have to fall within the category of regulating financial markets, would it?
No, that's a good point. I mean, that regulation, abolition of all regulation, certainly isn't meant to include no laws against fraud. So maybe we can narrow this a bit and ask, does anyone object to including that sentence, the abolition of all regulation, in the baseline?
Yeah, I do not object to leaving that.
Okay. So
all right, so we strike the last sentence and we're done.
Well, let's just have a vote. I too don't care too much either way about the last sentence, but I guess I would I would vote towards including it only because I know that we're surely going to revise it in our final draft, and it's a good placeholder for better language.
Yeah, so there's a possibility that this would be the platform.
That is true, and. And it was the platform in 2004 and probably, I'm not sure how many versions before that. But it never made my list of top things I hate about the platform.
Yeah, but I dislike the last sentence enough that if the remix version didn't pass, I wouldn't want it in the baseline. So my opinion at this point is to kill the last line.
I would vote on deleting the last sentence, and I'd be okay with leaving the abolition sentence.
Yeah, I'm with those guys.
Okay, that's three against two, so let's just take that out and press forward. Okay, let's see, unless anyone had any... Did we finish on 2.5 before, Monopolies, Corporation, and Labor? I thought we were ready to talk about healthcare and education and Henry's suggestions about those. I remember one of Henry's suggestions was to split it into two planks. I can't remember if there was anything else.
Yeah, I did have I wanted to add a couple of things. Your comment on the healthcare, though, I agreed to withdraw my additional sentence there. But I did want to have a sentence about education that says that education, like any other service, is best provided by the free market, achieving greater quality and efficiency with more diversity of choice. You know, I think I really like that statement as defining where we stand on education. And because education is sort of uniquely provided by government today, as opposed to most any other service, that it's very appropriate to say that.
Is that from picked up from another platform?
Yeah, it is, yes. I don't have my notes right in front of me as to which platform. I think it was the 2004 Atlanta platform. But.
Well, there would be a certain symmetry. The part about education has just got two sentences now. You know, the one boilerplate about separation of blank and state, and then mm-hmm. and then it launches directly into an interim measure, whereas the healthcare one says separation of medicine and state, and then a generic rephrasing of, you know, we favor restoring and reviving a free market healthcare system, and then giving some specifics. So, can you repeat what you were going to include there? That would be right after the first sentence, or where would it go?
It would be the very beginning of the that says education, like any other service, is best provided by the free market, achieving greater quality and efficiency with more diversity of choice.
And it would go on.
Yeah,
advocate.
I don't have any strong objections to that. It repeats stuff that we say in the section intro, but it's all very good stuff. So, and what we say on education currently is a little thin because it's just got the boilerplate plus some interim measures. So I'd be okay with repeating that.
And that's from the 2004 platform. Is that right?
Well, let me. I have to pull up my different window here and confirm that. But I'm.
You're talking about adding that as the second.
Yeah, it is from the 2004 platform.
Okay.
Would you want it to be the first sentence or the second? If we made it the second, then the two parts would have a little more parallel structure.
Yeah, that would be okay, actually, yeah. One leads into the other in either order, I guess. Yeah.
It does seem like the second sentence would flow better.
I agree.
Okay.
Okay, let's make that be the second sentence of the education section.
That's fine.
All right.
Okay, and I also did want to say something about compulsory education laws, because that's not included here at this point. In the 2004 platform, I pulled a sentence, but it wasn't exactly what it said there. I said, we call for repeal of compulsory education laws. I'd have to go back and see what 2004 actually said. It was worded slightly differently, but it didn't fit very well, and I can't remember why right now.
Question, I mean, the topic sentence were advocating separation of education and state. I mean, that's pretty broad, and I'm a little bit concerned that the plank is just getting long. There's something to be said for brevity.
Okay, well, we haven't. Have we decided we are going to break it into two planks?
Oh.
Or not.
I'm for splitting into two planks.
Okay.
So let's see. So we're, right now our count is 5 in personal liberty planks, and then 6. No, we're at 7 economic liberty planks and 6 securing liberty planks. And I know Guy and I are going to want to add that a 7th one about constitutionalism or federalism, whatever. So this would take us to 8 economic ones. I'm always sensitive to being accused of you know, being a Republican or, you know, not, or only caring about economic liberty. So do we worry about the left-right balance being reflected in the plank count?
That's, no, I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay.
No, it's not an issue for me.
I'm okay.
Okay, well then, since that's the only plank that has a blatant paragraph separator in it, that's a pretty strong hint that maybe it should have been separate planks to begin with.
I would say if we want to address the balance, we would want to add something under personal.
Question. I'm not sure why we couldn't just move some of, I mean, like some of these economic liberty planks. I mean, if it's not clearly talking about money and that kind of stuff, for instance, healthcare and education, why could that not be considered personal liberty as well as economic?
Yeah.
Well, generally, the personal liberty, another, is kind of like a synonym for civil liberties. I mean, we libertarians think that all these things are all fundamentally civil liberties, and that economic liberties are first-class liberties. But I think to the extent that a plank maps one-to-one with an industry, you know, or a market or something, or an area where the nanny staters believe that, you know, money should be handed out to people and stuff, then I think that's kind of the test that we should decide whether we dump it, put it in this section.
Mm. I my view is that should remain where it is, economic.
Okay, so any objection to just splitting it into two and keeping them here?
No objection to splitting it in two. Maybe once we start looking at the big picture, we might want to revisit where they're located. But
yeah, that's a good point. Alicia had mentioned in our last call that after we go through and you know, change the sentences and add sentences and delete sentences, that would be a good time to then take a pass at the titles and the organization of the planks and see if they still make sense.
Yeah, I agree to table that question for now.
Okay.
Now we're going to talk about this dealing compulsory education laws?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. I think that would be a huge mistake to include that. That is, I understand the theory, but if we're saying, you know, parents should be allowed to have their kids be stupid, uneducated, I just think that's, the optics of that are completely wrong. Or if we want to be a major party, at least.
Could we maybe read the sentence we're talking about so I can? Could we read the proposed verbiage?
Well, let me ask Brian a question here. In your response to my original list of things I wanted to change, you said. You suggested making it, we advocate the separation of education and state and oppose compulsory education laws. And that would be fine with me to state it that way. I just wasn't clear if that was from a previous platform or were you, you know,
I'm reading in the 2004 platform, it says we condemn compulsory education laws.
Yeah.
I think condemn and oppose, I don't consider those to be too so different that we couldn't claim that we're recycling language.
Okay. Well, maybe we could write something for the remix,
yeah.
and drop it from the baseline, or drop the idea.
Yeah, I think that when you say advocate strict separation, I'm sorry, we do say that, don't we? To advocate
yeah.
separation of education and state, I think it implies
yeah.
Compulsory education would go away.
Yeah,
I think you're right, Kai.
And also, what I'm going to be proposing when we talk about the remix is saying we advocate separation of education and state, comma, and returning control of and responsibility for education spending to parents. So
I like that being for something instead of against something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I agree.
I definitely don't mind and like the idea of saying something in that area. And if we connect it to parents that way, that probably might be better than just saying, we don't want to invoke the image of like, you know, we don't mind people, you know, we don't want to invoke the imagery of, you know, barefoot hayseeds running around with their suspenders, you know, because they don't have to go to school anymore and stuff like that.
Outback picking cotton.
Right.
Yeah. I do share some concern about, you know, opposing compulsory education is making us appear backwards, unjustly, but nonetheless.
Right. Yeah, that's why I like the separation of education and state way of putting it. That sounds
yeah.
much more progressive way of doing it.
Great.
Okay, so Henry, are you okay with just leaving the baseline as it is, and then we will try to expand on this in the remix?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Okay, any other discussion about either healthcare or education?
I had suggested another sentence for healthcare, but in your comments you said we'd deal with that in the remix, and I guess I'm okay with that too.
My
okay.
other notes are all remix oriented.
Okay, then retirement and income security, responsibility of the individual, not the government, proper source of help for the poor, voluntary efforts. Anybody had any inputs on that one?
I'm sorry, where is that again?
2.7, retirement and income security.
I did want to add a sentence that said, we favor replacing the current government-sponsored Social Security system with a private voluntary system.
To say that, I'm a little bit concerned about the perception, especially among seniors. I mean, I actually think that's the right policy, but it's a transition that might take 20 years.
Was it abolition, did you say, Henry? What was the?
I said, we favor replacing the current government-sponsored Social Security system with a private voluntary system.
Again, this is picked up from a previous platform.
Right.
It is.
And really, I mean, the action of government would be to simply eliminate the Social Security system, and it's up to citizens to, you know, it's like when we say replace, well, it's sort of like really it's just eliminate Social Security and government sponsored, and then citizens are on their own. It's like maybe society is replacing it per se, but the LP's policy would simply be to eliminate Social Security, and we're not actually replacing it. We're simply eliminating the Social Security and government involvement. So that sentence strikes me as a little bit not quite right, because we're not proactively doing the replacing. We're not providing the substitute ourselves. We're leaving it up to citizens to provide their own substitute.
I share that concern, and let me just preview what I'm going to push for in the remix. I would say we advocate transitioning to a privatized retirement savings industry with victims of the Social Security tax having a claim against government property. The victim's claim part is recycled language, which I think is cool language, because it probably appeals to people who, like us moderates, who worry about transitions, and yet it's got good juicy language about, you know, tax victims and going out and grabbing the government stuff and taking it away from them. So, but I would be okay with Henry's sentence in the baseline, and see if we can, you know, fine tune it in the remix.
I would prefer it not be included. I think it's just, if that comes through, I mean, if that were, we have to assume that the baseline could be adopted, and I think that one is, I don't want to say embarrassing, but that is the kind of thing that gets people not elected. So I think there's better way, I think we should make the point, but I don't think that sentence is the way to do it.
Well, can you find another sentence in another platform that would do it? Because I think we've left it hanging without saying, addressing the issue, just by saying retirement planning is the responsibility of the individual, not the government, doesn't really say that we would want to do away with Social Security system.
There is another line there that's in the 2004 platform that says participation in Social Security should be made voluntary.
Okay. Well,
how would you feel about that one, Bob?
That would be less jarring to me. I could see that being included. I mean, that's, of course, that's what Barry Goldwater said in 1964, one of the reasons he lost. But I would hope that we could rewrite that. But if we, you know, including it in the baseline, I could probably live with.
Just that sentence by itself doesn't necessarily say that government shouldn't be in charge of the Social Security system either.
True.
Yeah, but I guess I could live with it anyway.
Okay.
How would that impact passage in the convention?
Say that again, Guy?
Well, I'm sort of okay with that sentence also. So it sort of sounds like, you know, we're okay here. But at the convention, I wonder how including that sentence would impact the convention's approval.
You know, we could be a little bit Machiavellian here in the sense that what we ultimately want is what we're calling the remix. So if the baseline is like kind of barely okay, but everyone sees, oh, but the remix is much better, in some ways that's
just
a preferred
y'all please,
position.
I'm on a telecom.
Yeah, that thought has occurred to me too. And that's why anytime, you know, there's language that is not particularly horrible, I don't mind keeping it in the baseline. It's kind
I'm
of a placeholder, it kind of ties a string on your finger for saying, oh, here's something that maybe we should fix.
It seems like we got an either or with these two sentences. Either we say it should be voluntary, but kind of leave it hanging about whether the government should run it, or we're talking about replacing it with a private system. And I think what we really want is really the private system, not just government run, but voluntary.
That's a good point. That sentence comes from a transition section in 2004 that says, pending that replacement, participation in Social Security should be made voluntary. So we could say something like, you know, pending privatization or something like that, participation in Social Security should be made voluntary.
So if we put both in there and made the voluntary as a transition sentence, but I don't know, it seems like we're getting into a pretty lengthy plank than just on the Social Security aspect. I'm not mixed this in yet, but one of my other notes is, do we want to broaden the scope of this to cover more than just the Social Security program, you know, to have it cover other social programs?
That's a good point. As I've said in an email, I hate the idea of even polluting our you know, beautiful statement of principles with the names of these vile nanny state programs. And listening to the Democrats in their debates, it's clear that they're going to be trying to expand the retirement programs to have not only Social Security, but, you know, government, increase the existing government guarantees for private pension funds and have rules about you know, what happens when a company goes bankrupt and what happens to their pension funds, and it's this is it's something of a moving target, which is one of the reasons why I hope we can avoid the kind of the alphabet soup problem.
Yeah, I mean there are a lot of social aid programs besides Social Security. I mean, Medicaid and Medicare would kind of be covered by the health care plank, but there's things like AFDC, even the National Endowment for the Arts, which is, you know, a social agenda.
Exactly. The title of the plank includes income security, and AFDC is a good example because that actually got replaced with something called TANF, I think, in the late 90s. It's got a new name.
Okay.
And if Hillary the trial lawyer guy get in there, they might be coming up with some new programs. That's why I do like the sentence that says the proper source of help for the poor is the voluntary efforts of private groups and individuals. That's a good catch-all statement of what, you know, what we think should be a positive statement of how we think income security should be provided.
See, I had that second sentence circled as doesn't really seem to fit in the context of a retirement and income security. I was thinking we might want to create another plank on poverty then that would address the AFDC and the other programs if we didn't get good language to bundle it in with Social Security.
Well, the thing to remember about that is that back in the 60s when they started all these programs for retirement security, seniors were the poorest segment of society, and now they're the least poverty-stricken segment of society.
Mm-hmm.
And my hat's off to the AARP for you know, setting up this big pyramid scheme and totally, you know, soaking, you know, my kids and my grandkids on this. But I think the two issues are kind of intertwined, and I always hate it when for some reason 65 is this magical number where if you're poor and over 65, then the government is supposed to care a lot more about your poverty than if you're under 65. And of course that's purely driven by the fact that old people vote and young poor people don't vote.
So maybe those two could be made to fit together at the end by changing the title to be poverty and income security or something like that, where it gets worked in there so it's not just retirement income security. It's at all stages, and then maybe in the remix we could work in some language to address the other alphabet soups besides Social Security.
Yeah, I definitely want the title to suggest that it's not just about retirement, but it's about any government effort to provide an income floor for anybody, regardless of age.
And the title pretty much says that. I mean, there's one sentence per aspect.
I understand the "and" to mean that we're not just talking about income during retirement, but income at any point in life. Okay, so Henry, do you still want to push for the first sentence you're talking about, or would you be okay with having a vote on the participation should be made voluntary sentence?
Yeah, I would be okay with that.
I'm sorry, okay with what?
Just to say participation in Social Security should be made voluntary.
Are you talking about doing that instead of the sentence you originally suggested?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, because I actually prefer the original sentence, but maybe we may just take a vote and then see how it goes.
Yeah, so I would favor the second one, the making participation voluntary.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I could see including it. I think it would be much less likely to scare seniors.
Okay.
Bob, do you want to break the tie?
No, I said I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right, so we'll do something. We'll include that clause somehow. The participation should be made voluntary.
Okay, that would be a second sentence then.
Yeah, I guess that would be the second sentence. Let's see, can we think of a way to glue it? Retirement planning is the responsibility of the individual, not the government.
Yeah, comma, so, the, you know.
And so participation in Social Security should be made voluntary?
Yeah, retirement planning is responsibility of the individual, not the government, comma, so, Social Security should be made voluntary.
Okay, how about and so?
Yeah.
And so,
well,
that's
wait,
grammatically
can
correct.
You just insert it as a sentence?
Well, do we want it to make a, it's kind of a short sentence, but we can, it can be its own sentence if we like.
Again, I would really prefer the baseline to be 100% recycled.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good. It's in the 2004 platform, there was a clause in front of it that said, pending that transition or something like that, comma, participation in Social Security should be made voluntary.
Yeah, it said pending that replacement, referring to replacing Social Security with a private system.
But I think we're not really pulling a fast one if we just pull out the second clause there.
No, I agree.
And make it a sentence.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Does anybody have a problem with that?
Oh, so it's a clause, it's not a sentence. Right.
The original sentence in the 2004 platform says, pending that replacement, comma, participation in Social Security should be made voluntary.
Well, it's a section of a compound sentence, so it could stand alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might want to put brackets around the first letter.
Okay. Okay, so it sounds like Bob is okay with that being a standalone sentence, so let's go that way. Okay, we got 10 minutes left, and we're starting section 3, I guess. Okay, maybe, let's see, did we have anything to talk about in 3.1 before we get to confirming Henry's new 3.2 plank?
I have some notes on 3.1. Let me scan through them, see how much is remix, see how much is baseline. Okay. On 3.1, it seemed to me that the second sentence didn't really fit as national defense. Maybe it's there because that's the rationale for the secret classifications, but if we're talking about, I don't know, that may be more of a
really more
privacy
3-2.
Issue than a defense issue.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. In fact, didn't we already agree that it should go into 3-2?
I certainly do.
Yeah.
I don't recall us talking about that, but yeah.
I remember saying something about Henry's new plank would give a natural home to a sentence that Alicia had called out as being out of place. I think this was the one.
I think so.
So is there any objection to moving the second sentence of 3.1 about secret classifications and putting that in what we think will be the new 3.2?
Problem.
No objection.
Okay.
No, that's okay with me.
Okay, then. Anything else on 3.1, Alicia?
Yeah. There's a sentence from the 72 platform in a plank called Military Aggression. It says the United States should abandon its attempt to act as a policeman for the world. I thought that might be a work in. I mean, we've got, since we moved that sentence out, then we're left with, we support maintaining a military to defend the U.S. against aggression and opposing compulsory national service, but that sentence might work in there.
It could be in the second sentence.
Say again, Guy?
Like a new second sentence?
Yeah.
That sounds good. It would say, the United States should abandon its attempts to act as policemen for the world.
Amen.
I can live with that.
I like that idea.
Okay, so we'll put that in as the second sentence.
And that's from the 72 platform.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look it up here. It's music to my ears.
It's the rest of the sentence continues, and should enter into alliances only with countries whose continued free existence is vital to the protection of the freedom of all American citizens. That part probably wouldn't be quite so non-contentious, since I think alliances are not that popular in the LP these days.
Yeah.
Do you think the alliances would better go with international affairs?
I don't think people would like it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like it on first blush. I'd have to read it, hear it again.
Because that old language then went on to talk about, under such an alliance, the U.S. may offer the protection of its nuclear umbrella, but they have to provide, but allies have to provide their own conventional defense.
Yeah, I wasn't as wild about the rest of it. I just pulled out that.
But yeah, I think the policeman of the world part is good, because that I think that even people like me who support the occasional libervention definitely agree with the general principle that that we should not be policemen of the world.
Yeah, and Brian, I'm probably more in your camp on that subject as well, but certainly we have gone way beyond in terms of intervention and things that there's just no rationale for.
Yeah, what plank did that come from?
It's titled Military Alliances. It's in the Foreign Policy section of the 72 platform. It's the fourth plank in foreign policy in 72, titled Military Alliances.
When we start looking at remix, I wouldn't mind having a statement about being against preemptive strike.
Yeah, we can talk about that. I mean, there's, you know, people are gonna. There's always gonna be shades of, you know, gray there about, you know, do you wait till the missile actually enters our airspace before you start acting against it, you know. But I definitely like Alicia's sentence. Is there any objection to this policeman of the world sentence being our second sentence in national defense?
No objection.
No.
Okay, what's next? Compulsory national service? There was some discussion about that, I recall.
I think there we were talking about maybe using the word draft instead of compulsory national service, and the discussion was, well, that also covers other things like we're going to require you to work in the Peace Corps for 2 years or whatever. And that's true, but those applications aren't really national defense issues. But that might be brought up in another, you know, added to another plank, possibly. But I think the word draft clicks with people more than compulsory national service, but that would be a remix thing since this is original language.
Yeah, let me do a quick search here in the 70... Because I think the word draft wasn't used in the 2004, but now checking the 72, it says, we oppose the draft, parent, selective service, parent, believing that the use of force to require individuals to serve in the armed forces or anywhere else is a violation of their rights, and that a well-paid volunteer army is a more effective means of national defense than the involuntary servitude exemplified by the draft. So stuff for reuse there, we could say we oppose the draft. We could even add on the part about believing the use of force to require people in the armed forces or anywhere else is a violation of their rights. I'm kind of agnostic about whether we try to work the word draft into the baseline or just stick with what we see there.
Actually, I mean, in some ways, that whole sentence, even though it's stylistically very different, I like it as a placement. More on point.
I'm sorry, you like which one?
I like the whole sentence.
The one that's there now or the alternate?
The alternate. We oppose the draft, selective service, believing that the use of force, blah, blah, blah. A well-paid volunteer army. I mean, I'm in favor of that.
I like the part up until the point where it says, you know, explaining that we believe that the use of force to require individuals to serve anywhere else is a violation of their rights. But then the last clause about a well-paid volunteer army is more effective, that in my mind falls into the category of sort of the vouching and the advertising and marketing that I see as bloating the platform in the past. And I'd be fine with the first parts of it where it says we oppose the draft because we believe principle X.
I personally like what's there now. I mean, I realize compulsory national service is a little bit broader than military conscription, but even national defense, while it brings up visions of tanks and battleships, doesn't necessarily preclude more, domestic type of activities. I like the brevity of what's there. I like it being a little bit more broad than just a military draft.
I agree with that. I like it's simple and clean. It says we oppose compulsory national service. Period.
I mean, if we wanted to bloat it, I'd like to, talk about involuntary servitude and the 13th Amendment and all this. But I think brevity is a big virtue, and there's a lot more to national defense than just compulsory service. And suddenly, 3/4 of the plank talks about conscription. So I personally would opt to just leave what we got.
Leave it. Well, you convinced me. Leave what we got, and we can reword that remix if necessary.
Yeah,
I agree. Leave it the way it is for now.
Okay.
I can live with that.
And it's 5:00.
And it's 5:00. Okay.
So we'll stop there.
Let's see, reviewing my notes here, we dropped the sentence about insider trading. We included Henry's sentence about education markets being good. We added the sentence about participation in Social Security should be made voluntary. We moved the second sentence of 3.1 to 3.2, which we presume is going to be 3.2. And then we added a sentence about abandoning attempts to be the policeman of the world.
I've got two more that we agree to split 2.6 into two planks?
Oh, right. That's right. Split.
And, okay. That was another thing we talked about but left it out. Okay. That's all I got.
Okay. Okay, then we can talk online about setting up the next one, probably maybe for next weekend.
Could we maybe talk about the schedule now a little bit?
Sure.
Let's see. I'm pulling up. Generally, Sundays are bad for me unless it's earlier in the day. Next Saturday, I've got a block walk scheduled also.
Next Saturday, I am clear, and Sunday, I am provisionally clear. I haven't seen my tennis schedule, team schedule. I'd have to check with that online.
I can do Sundays after 2. Next Saturday I'll probably be visiting out of town, but it won't preclude me from doing a Saturday. I can take an hour out and do it.
I'm open.
Could it be late Saturday evening?
I can do that Saturday evening.
I would. Well, Saturday, that's usually date night for me. Sunday, Sunday earlier sounded like maybe that was, we haven't heard from Henry, though.
Yeah, Sunday's okay next week for me, just about any time Sunday.
Could it be Sunday morning? I've got a newsletter to get out, and I think that's when we're going to do our stuffing party starting at 2. And then toward the end of the day Sunday, I'm like getting ready to commute over to Louisiana. But
Sunday
morning I could do.
I can't do morning at all.
Okay, maybe let's everyone send out their constraints in an email, and then we can find the spot that'll work.
My main constraint is that I work Saturdays, and I probably couldn't do it any time before. I might be able to do it as early as 3, but 4 is much better.
What about Friday nights? None of us have social lives.
Yeah, I have no social
life. I work all day Friday in Louisiana, and then I commute Friday from like 5 to 7:30 or 8. And I'd be getting back like at, I could do 8:30 Friday night Central Time.
Well, I take it back. We actually do have a date coming up Friday night. We've got a babysitter. The stars aligned.
Mm. Yeah, 8:30 gets kind of late for the East Coast guys.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's. How about if we just each send out an email with our definitive constraints, and then I'll do the exercise of finding any holes.
Okay.
Just send an email to you.
Yeah, send an email to me.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Sounds good. All right. Okay. Another productive meeting.
Hey, maybe next time we get to abortion.
Yeah. Really have some fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
take care.
See you all later.
All right.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.